Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Along with me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. It's tournament time. You've got the NBA, and of course, you've got Jordan's picks at FatJackSports.com. Make sure you get signed up today. And Jordan, this one sucks again.
Here's the reason why it sucks. I mean, it's got some okay fights, some recognizable fighters. How in God's green earth is Tai Tuivasa fighting at the Apex?
Yeah.
How could that one, if there's any fighter to put in front of a live crowd.
It's Tai Tuivasa, yeah.
You put a guy in front of a live crowd that drinks beer out of a shoe.
You probably could have added this to the UFC 299 crowd, or at least put it maybe at UFC 300, where, you know, you get this in, like you said, even if it's a prelim at UFC 300 or UFC 299, you need him in front of a crowd. Who are you supposed to shooey from? Friends and family?
In 2 weeks, they're in Atlantic City.
Yeah, do that.
And the main event is Aaron Blanchfield and Manon Farreau. Like, come on, put it on that card.
Yeah, that would have worked.
Yeah.
That would have worked. He's one of the most exciting fighters going right now, even though he's just okay. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But, he's fun. And that's what matters. He's fun. Yeah, fun.
So that's why, honestly, this fight card is uber disappointing.
Yeah.
Of that. I mean, I'm excited to see him fight. It should be a fun fight, for sure.
Absolutely.
It just sucks that he's not going to be doing anything in front of a live crowd.
All right, but first, let's do a quick recap. UFC 299, we were way off on a lot of things. Honesty here, right? Like, Dustin Poirier just screwed up everything we had going. Screwed up my pick for my prop of the night, screwed up our parlay, screwed up everything. Dustin Poirier, great fighter, horrible for us last week.
I mean, we provide our best analysis, and we did say, you know, this is going to be the fight that determines if DP is long in the tooth, or he still is a title challenger. He might actually now be fighting for the championship after this performance. Mm-hmm. And Benoit St. Denis, like, just bit off more than he could chew. It was too big up of a step in competition. And I don't care about the staph infection and, you know, him being on the antibodies and that's hurting his cardio. The dude got knocked the fuck out. So, you know, kudos to Dustin Poirier and impressive by Michael Venom Page as well. But look, we were right on Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns had that fight won until, you know, with 2 minutes remaining, Jack Della Maddalena landed a beautiful time knee and put his lights out. But we were right on Peter Yan. We were right on Curtis Blades.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're painting the picture like it was just like an awful night.
No, like I was heavily invested in St. Denis.
In St. Denis, okay.
And
yes,
so
were.
Like that.
And you put it out there too.
That hurt. And it's fine. Listen, we rally. Now we're back to even, I believe, on the props and the parlays. So we're back to even as we ramp up, or whatever you want to call it, this slow jog to UFC 300 in a month from now. So, all right, let's get into these fights here for this UFC fight night at the Apex, which, like we both said, sucks because you want to see Tai Tuivasa in front of a crowd with the shoe. He's drinking beer out of shoes after he wins. But let's get started with our first fight on the main card. Gerald Meerschaert against Brian Barberena. Brian Barberena plus 194, the underdog. Gerald Meerschaert, the minus 245, the favorite. Meerschaert, 36 years old, makes his 53rd start of his professional MMA career, looking to snap a two-fight losing streak. Barberena moved to middleweight last July, and he lost to Mahmoud Muradov in his second straight appearance in London. So both guys coming off of losses here to start this fight night here.
Yeah, but this is a fun fight card to open up the card. I mean, two bangers, two guys that are finishers, definitely at the tail end of their careers. I mean, Gerald Meerschaert is a unique cat, and I got a little funny story about Gerald Meerschaert as well. But the dude, like, 35 wins, 27 of them have come via submission. So that obviously is his pathway to victory. That's how he's going to look to get this fight to the ground, take advantage of really the lacking of the grappling in that department for Brian Barberena. Meerschaert certainly susceptible to the knockout. Brian Barberena does still carry a lot of power. I'm not in love with his move to middleweight. I mean, he was kind of a portly welterweight, and you know he's moving up to middleweight as well. But the funny story I was saying about Mearshart. So Evan Cohen, you hear him Monday through Friday on Unsportsmanlike. Also, before. Just recently was our director of content, for all of our stations under the Good Karma banner. And I hosted a show called The Main Event. And it was this is when I was in West Palm at ESPN, our sister station, ESPN West Palm. And it was a new show. And it was a show kind of combination of MMA, wrestling, boxing. Like, we just did all, like, combat sports.
All the
like,
combats,
couple,
yeah.
coupled it all into one. So, like, on the debut show, we had Gerald Mearshart as a guest on the show. He had an upcoming fight, and we had him on. He's good friends with Dean Thomas, you know, who I know really well.
Yeah.
And Evan was interviewing me. My show was 6 to 7. Evan's was 5 to 6. So he was emailing me, like, kind of crosstalk, if you will, about who's coming on the, you know, about the show. And I'm like, yeah, we got UFC middleweight Gerald Mearshart. He's like, you have a guy named Sharp coming on the show.
Oh, and God.
Everybody just lost it. And I lost it not laughing. I was pissed. Like, I was so mad at Evan because he threw me off. And that's what he tried to do. He tried to figure. So anyway, I have a fond, you know, fondness for Sharp, if Jared Mearshart, if you will.
Sharp, we'll call him the Sharp.
Yeah. The Sharp, yeah, exactly. So here's how I'm handicapping this fight. Jared Mearshart, certainly susceptible to the knockout. I've talked about that before. Brian Barberena, 2 of his last 3 losses have come via submission against, you know, grapplers, similar acumen as Mearshart, you know, Gunnar Nelson, Javier Dos Anjos. So I'm seeing a finish in this fight. So I'm going to play the under. I'm going to play the under at 2.5. I think this does not go to the judges' scorecards. Either Barberena lands a bomb and just completely shuts the lights out of Jared Mearshart.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think, as we see in the odds, Mearshart, you know, definitely savvy veteran, is going to avoid, you know, the chaos that Brian Barberena likes to bring and eventually get this fight to the ground and get a submission. So I think it's probably a little bit too high of a price on the money line for Mearshart.
Yeah.
I think you looked at a safer play on the under at 2.5. I think that's like $1.50 right now at FanDuel.
Yeah, it is. It's $1.50 on FanDuel right now, under 2.5. Method of victory. You mentioned the submission artist that Mearshart is. So Mearshart, I will just call him Sharp by submission, +120. Sharp by points, +340. Barberena by points, +450. Barberena by knockout at +500.
Well, here, like I just said, like, if you're on the Brian Barberena side, I don't think he's going to pot shot his way to a win. Like, I don't think he's going to win the fight via decision. He's certainly not going to submit Jared Mearshart. So if you like Brian Barberena, you want to add a little bit of, you know, sprinkle to then that knockout prop is certainly worth it. I don't bet, even at that +110 price you mentioned for Mearshart at submission, I don't think
120,
it's worth it.
Yeah,
I don't like that. I'd like that to get to like +200, and then maybe you play it. Because that's, I think, the method of victory for him. So
yeah, I'm writing it down, maybe for later.
Okay.
For my prop, like, I'm debating as for my prop for as Mearshart by submission.
I mean, the dude submits people. I mean, like
that's
I said,
what,
like
that's you his know, job. Yeah.
The high percentage likelihood of if him winning a fight is going to come via submission.
Well, and I think that the story you told amplifies that to me. I want to have money on Shart.
Then bet the Shart. That's a shark.
Our next fight. Okay, so full disclosure here, no secrets. Before we started recording, you told me you were in a lot of pain. And I told you, you're like, I'm sore, my back hurts, I don't know what you did. Maybe, listen, I heard I ruptured a disc in my back, and there was like, I had a leaking like disc in my back from standing up once. Like, do you know how deflating it is to go to your doctor and they're like, so what'd you do? And I'm like, this wasn't recent. This was like 5 or 6 years ago. And I go, I stood up. And he's like, what do you mean? I go, I stood up and I heard a pop. And he goes, he tried to make me feel good and be like, it's more common than you think. And I was like, no, it's not.
He was laughing about you.
Yeah, I'm like, no, it's not, dude. No, it's not. I'm 35. Like, it's not. So Ovin St. Preux, or OSP as he's mostly known to people, is 40 years old.
Yeah.
He's 40. He turns 41 next month. You don't want to talk about, I told you to act your age. You want to talk about acting your age. This dude is getting in the octagon and is a insane underdog at plus 470 against Kennedy Ndroku, who's minus 700 to win this fight.
Yeah, and it's a short notice fight, too. I mean, look, I love OSP because, you know, he redefined the Von Flue choke, which was, it's now synonymous as the OSP choke. You know, he's an unbelievable athlete, a former Tennessee Volunteer, college football player.
Oh, I'm definitely betting him against him now.
Freakish. Well, Tennessee lost, you know, what, last night?
Today. They lost today. We're recording this on a Friday, yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to lose tomorrow. OSP has been knocked out three of his last four fights. His most notable win was, you know, recently was Shogun Hua, and this was the fight before Shogun Hua retired. There's some risk because Kennedy, Ndroku is like sometimes a little bit hesitant in the cage, and sometimes, you know, he's been caught, and, you know, he's coming off a loss against Dustin Jacoby. We know him really well, friend of the show. But I think this is a service to Kennedy to get him back on the winning track. OSP has hinted at retirement.
Oh, are we going to see the gloves? Are we going to see the gloves?
Well, we might see the gloves. Yeah, we might see the gloves. You know, I just think that OSP at his age, he just can't rely on his like athleticism anymore. That's mm-hmm. what he's really like, you know, relied on throughout his entire career, which, you know, look, he fought for the interim title. He fought John Jones on a short notice fight for the light heavyweight championship back in the day. He just doesn't have it in the tank anymore. And I believe that Kennedy, you know, is going to probably, you know, land something on his chin at some point in the early portion of the fight. So I'll take the under at 1.5. I think it's at 1.5. I think we're getting a finish for sure because look, yeah. I mean, OSP could surprise and you know, Kennedy could just be, you know, walking through this fight, kind of sleepwalking, if you will. But
it's at -150 now, just like the Mearshard under.
Yeah, and so. Look, and I think so. I think OSP is seeing his better days, and this is going to be his swan song. And unfortunately, it's going to be looking up at the lights.
Even the method of victory is not good odds. I mean, you're looking at Ndroku by knockout at -190. I mean, yeah. I would consider putting that into the parlay as opposed to the -700.
Yeah, it's a weird matchup. It's you kind of like double taked when you saw that this was announced that like again like a guy that was thinking about retirement but now coming in there against a guy I think what 10 years younger than him in the light heavyweight division. So I think yeah, even at that knockout price, not worth it. So he can go into our parlay.
Oh, he's
help
going
a lot.
In. Yeah, it won't.
It won't help a lot. It's 7-1, but yeah. I think the under at 1.5 is certainly the play.
All right, and next we have our next fight, Brian Battle against Ange Lusa. Brian Battle here in this welterweight fight, 29 years old, 3-1 since moving to welterweight, and 5-1 overall inside the octagon. And when I see Lusa's name and I see Dana White Contender Series, that's where I stop reading. And Brian Battle is -175, the favorite here, to Lusa's +145.
Yeah, I mean, look, this fight shouldn't be the co-main event. You know,
Didn't mean to interrupt you. If people think OSP is going to retire at the end of this fight, don't you give him the co-main event? Like, shouldn't that be I know that the odds are ridiculous and it's not a good fight, but wouldn't you, if you have a hint that maybe he's going to retire, don't you put that as the co-main event?
But the thing is like you gotta find guys that are on win streaks.
No, I know, but like, listen, this card sucks. At least give people something as the co-main event.
Yeah, I think this is like this is like the best fight on the card of like could be future, you know, in the welterweight division.
Oh, Brian Battle against Lusa. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like what you could look at, like two guys as you could see like being, you know, maybe in, you know, the top 15, top 10 at some point. I love Brian Battle. I think that he's a big welterweight. He's very well rounded. Comes with a lot of power. He's got a good chin. He's won multiple different kind of matchups. Like he out wrestled a wrestler, or he outstroked a striker. So I think that, you know, Luce is going to have to affect Battle with his power early in this fight. He can do it. You know, he definitely has that, and he's got, what, 5 knockouts to his resume with his 10 wins.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that, like, Battle is just, like, just a little bit better everywhere. And maybe Lucy's got a little bit heavier hands, but the precision striking, Battle, counter striking. And I think Battle's just the overall better athlete. And then this is, like, one of those fights, and there's not a lot of them that I do like, straight up on the money line, Brian Battle. To win the fight, I think is worth the price. And it's a little bit of a risk, too, because I don't talk about this a lot with you, Abdallah, but, like, sometimes I pay attention to, like, camps that are all preparing and training together to, you know, and Rufus Sport, which is where Gerald Meerschaert trains, where Lusa trains. There's a guy, Christian Rodriguez, I think, making his UFC debut out of that fight camp out of Milwaukee. Duke Rufus, Anthony Pettis, Sergio Pettis, they all come from that camp. Good camp. Not one of the, you know, the headliners, like, you know, nationally, but still a very good camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all training, they're all preparing. So that means, you know, iron sharpens iron. So that's a little bit of a risk there, but I like Brian Battle. I think he wins the fight straight up.
All right. Do we put him in the parlay?
I think you could put him in the parlay.
Okay.
And I think maybe to look at also potentially is, you know, Brian Battle is a finisher.
Okay.
I mean, the guy has
some good odds for him too to finish. So
that's what I'm saying. The thing is it's good odds. It's because all of the losses for Lusa have come via the judge's scorecards. Like he's never been finished.
So you're looking at Battle by points at +155, Lusa by points at +270. Did you just fall? Are you okay?
I just threw my wallet on the table here.
Oh, okay.
It was bothering my back a little bit. Maybe
so
it was the George
Costanza. No. This came up earlier. This came up in what? No. This came up in it's way behind the scenes. This came up in a in an inter office video thing that came that we get that you have a gigantic wallet.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I do. Sharpie has mentioned that to me before.
Yes.
Dave Sharp, our director of sales. Okay, let's look at this thing right here. What do I got in here? Okay, so I do have some cash. I don't have cash.
First of all, you don't need that anymore.
I know I don't need that anymore.
Nobody uses
it. Okay, I got Costco card, which I don't need.
No, you do need the Costco. I have a card holder. That's all I have.
Okay,
card holder.
But I don't need it in my wallet. I could just put it somewhere where if I'm going to Costco, I'm not going to like randomly go to Costco. Like Costco's a plant. Okay, so there's that. All right. Then I've got.
If you need gas.
I don't go to Costco. Well, I guess I could. Okay. I got some business cards. I was just at a networking event, so that's fair.
Okay. Business cards are fair. All right.
Okay. I have my health insurance card.
Okay.
I have a second Costco card.
Why do you have two Costco cards? Why do you have two Costco cards?
I don't know. I have two. And then I've got, oh my God, I've got like 3 health insurance cards.
What is wrong with you? Those expire, man. You get new ones every year, don't you?
And then, all right, debit card.
Okay.
Debit card and credit card and license. Well, not bad.
I just
unloaded half my wallet.
Oh my God. I think I have more cards than you do. I have my CTA card, my ID for work, credit card, debit card, driver's license, insurance card, Costco card. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay, I mean, my wallet was big because I had 6 health insurance cards. Which
okay, we'll take those all out.
And then I had a cash, which, you know. And
don't
then
need
I got,
that.
And I had business cards. I was doing work.
All right, fine. Business cards. Can you get a separate business card holder, though?
Was there a ranking system? Was I, like, number one? This guy has the George Costanza
No. I think
wallet.
it just came up. That's
conversation.
Something about wallets came up, and it was like, they should talk to Jordan. He's got the Costanza wallet going.
I don't have, like, a coupon.
And I was like, I got to talk to him about that today.
Yeah.
And if it was so loud that we all audibly heard it.
Well, this table also doesn't offer me any favors.
All right. Okay. Anyway, Brian Battle by points +155, Lusa by points +270. And here's where it gets interesting what you mentioned by finish. Battle by submission at +480, Battle by knockout at +600.
He's an equal opportunist. I think if anything, the probably the method is going to come by TKO. But you know, he's got 8 finishes of his 10 wins, 5 by sub, 3 by knockout. I'm just thinking the fight that he's going to have.
Mm-hmm.
Lusa probably like coming in with an overhand right, misses, counter strike. That's how Battle, Gabe Green. That's who he put away with a beautiful counter, knocked him out. So maybe like one of those type of situations.
Okay. All right. We'll keep an eye on that as we get closer to this UFC fight night. Our next fight, the best odds on the card, which means it should be a very close fight. One of our favorite fighters, we've already talked about him, Tai Tuivasa, the Shuey, Marcin Tybura, minus 106, technically the favorite because Tuivasa is minus 114 right now. Or no, I take that back. Reverse it. Reverse what I just said. Ty Tuivasa, minus 114. Tybura, minus 106. Slight underdog, I guess, technically. This is as close to a pick 'em as you're probably going to get. Ty Tuivasa, the shoey in the Apex. You're going to be on VSiN later today. Can you do a shoey on VSiN on TV?
I'd have to figure out the shoe I'd want to use.
Just pick a shoe,
And here's the problem. Not only figuring out the shoe, which, okay, I've got options.
Yeah.
But I think we talked about this before. Like, I'm an IPA drinker. So, I don't really have that beer that's going to, like...
That goes down smooth?
That's going to, like...
You're drinking lunch every time. Jeez.
Yeah, I don't, like, you know... Yeah, I don't have one.
That's
I'd
fine.
Have to find something. So, the answer's no.
Okay. Well, Tuivasa is on a 3-fight losing streak. Tybura is on a 2-fight losing streak.
Apex, 2-fight
winning.
Apex.
So, yeah, this is the Apex. This is, you know... Two big boys in a very small cage.
and that's the first thing that you got to consider. You know, Tybura is going to probably want to operate a little bit in space because he's going to want to hunt eventually for utilize footwork, utilize calf kicks, and eventually look for takedowns. And that's who like Tuivasa has struggled with, guys that have been able to take him down, like a Surrogan, or a guy that just doesn't give a fuck about his power, and that's Sergey Pavlovich and Alexander Volkov. But the guys that have given Tybura fits are just powerful strikers that just come at you like Ty Tuivasa. So it's an interesting matchup. It's why the odds indicate that they are. I look at one thing that's, you know, I don't believe too much in pattern, but there is something to this. Tuivasa does have a 3-fight losing streak in his career, and then he went on a 5-fight winning streak.
Okay.
So this would be the start of a 5-fight winning streak.
All right.
If he's able to be successful against Marcin Tybura. I think certainly, as I mentioned, Tybura's got the game plan to be able to win this fight. I think there's too much risk. Is Tybura just going to slow walk himself into, you know, Tuivasa landing something? Because only he has to land one, and Tybura's done. Or is, you know, Tuivasa going to be thrown off his game because of those calf kicks and some eventual takedowns? So I think finish is certainly happening. I like the odds at an under 1.5. I've heard some other people, respectable handicappers I talk to, think the over, which leans to Tybura as their favorite because, you know, he's going to like try and get, you know, survive the early onslaught by Tuivasa. But I think we've also seen Ty Tuivasa like not have to need a first round knockout to get wins. Like, you know, he finished Derek Lewis and Augusto Sagay in the second round. You know, was going into the third round against Ciryl Gane before he got finished. So I'll just, you know, predicate that this fight's going to end quickly. And either Tuivasa knockout, Tybura sub, or TKO will be a ground and pound. So I'll take the under 1.5.
All right, so the under 1.5 there, minus 102, pretty good odds, almost even odds there on FanDuel, on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, FanDuel.com/Abdallah, if you want to sign up today. So that is the main events, the under Tuivasa, under 1.5, minus 102, taking battle money line, minus 175, the under in OSP's fight, under 1.5 at minus 150, and Gerald Meerschaert under 2.5 in that fight at minus 160. My prop of the night is going to be Ty Tuivasa by knockout at plus 105.
Okay.
And then another one, an extra one, Meerschaert by submission at plus 120.
Okay, so we're going back. So you're risking what, $1.50? Like 1.5 units, I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably put one unit on each because it's because the odds aren't that, like, if I was getting plus 350 or plus 200 or something better, I'd put less money on it, but I'm going to go one unit on each at plus 105 and plus 120.
Okay.
So hopefully we win at least one and split it, you know? It wouldn't be horrible. And then our parlay right now, which isn't great, is Meerschaert, Njoku, and Battle, and that pays plus 150.
All right, we're going to make this a 5-leg parlay. Tiago Moises, it's not going to help out a ton, but short notice fight for his opponent, Mitch Ramirez. A lot of people cannot handle the grappling, the submission game of Moises. And obviously, Moises has been there with some of the best. Mitch Ramirez taking this final short notice, I believe, making his UFC debut. He's at minus 390 is Tiago Moises. So let's add him. And then let's also add Josian Nunez, at $1.44.
Okay.
So a little bit better odds there. Chelsea Chandler, I think, is just going to get overwhelmed by Nunez, especially Nunez's power. So five legs. Hopefully that gets us somewhere nice.
So Nunez, Moises, Battle, and Njoku, Mearshart, all money line. That pays plus 435.
Okay.
All right. I like that. Let's get back in the winning column. I like that. He's Jordan Sherwood. You can get all of his picks. FatJackSports.com. Make sure you sign up today. College basketball, the tournament starts next week. You want to get signed up for March Madness. Jack's been hot. You want to get signed up for the rest of the NBA season. And, of course, you get all of Jordan's picks as well on there, FatJackSports.com. Also follow Jordan at Win on ESPN 1000. You can follow me at Adam A. Abdallah on Twitter. And we'll be back next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.